Good morning. Welcome back. You're listening to From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss, and joining me right now is Erin Miller, who is the granddaughter of one of the original WASP, Women Air Force Service Pilots. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little about the WASP in general and your grandmother specifically.
So the WASP, the Women Air Force Service Pilots, were the first women to fly airplanes for the United States military. They started the program in the 1940s because there was a shortage of men available for combat missions overseas. So in desperation, they let women pilots come down to Texas and train to become pilots for the U.S. military. And my grandmother was one of those. There were, in the end, 1,102 total out of 25,000 applicants.
It is amazing when you look back at the history of aviation in the 20s and 30s. It wasn't as taboo for women to learn how to fly as it became as we start approaching World War II. There were a lot of female aviators in the early days of aviation.
Yeah, I mean, there was Amelia Earhart, all these well-known, Bessie Coleman, all these well-known. It's not like it was weird for women to fly, right. But for women to fly in the military was a whole other ball of wax. Like, you know, kind of taking over the men's roles. And I think women in the military in general was a little bit unusual, but women pilots were especially unusual.
And of course, you're here today not only talking about your experiences and your grandmother, but also as part of Women Venture, as a day set aside to kind of salute and encourage women to become involved in aviation.
Absolutely. My grandmother was a big proponent of having the next generation not have to face the same obstacles she did, and she was very encouraging of women learning to fly, and she loved to see young girls learning to fly, and she was especially proud of women who became military pilots, and especially members of the Thunderbirds and the more elite pilots, you know, breaking that glass ceiling.
Excellent. Do you have a sense of the types of airplanes that she flew?
So my grandmother flew all the planes that they trained in, so the T-6, BT-13, PT-17, PT-19. She was a co-pilot on the B-17. Of course, they trained in several other types of planes. There were women who flew the pursuit planes, women who flew the bigger planes. They flew several different planes. My grandmother specifically trained male pilots in the BT-13 in instrument training was her role after she graduated from training.
Through the years, did she share any of the more unusual stories or experiences she had training other pilots?
Well, there's one thing she used to tell me is, I'd say, well, what was your job, Grandma, in World War II during this, you know, situation? And she said, well, I trained the male pilots, and so they'd have to sit in the back seat under the cover and learn how to fly just with their instruments. And my job was to make sure they didn't crash into Mount Charleston because she was stationed in Las Vegas, so... That was her. She used to tell me all the time.
Okay. Now, with all the WASP, they trained at Sweetwater
yes.
in Texas, which if you've ever been there, I mean, the folks are great in Sweetwater, but it's not necessarily the nicest place to be. That was a hard environment to be. And for most of the WASP, sometimes it was the first time they were away from home. And to be kind of thrown into this new role.
Yeah, my grandma absolutely loved being with all these women from all over the country, where there were women who were, you know, from farm communities, women from big cities. My grandma was from Baltimore, so she was a city girl. But, you know, there were women who had already trained with crop dusters, so they had a lot of experience. My grandmother was kind of a newer pilot, so... She had her license, but she didn't have as many hours as some of the other women, so she felt a little bit inferior when she showed up, but they all went through the same training, learned the same planes, learned the same information from the military, the U.S. Army Air Corps at the time, so she caught up with everybody, and yeah, she really enjoyed it, and she used to say they have to check for rattlesnakes before they get in the plane, and yeah, it was dusty. But Jackie Cochran made sure they always brushed their hair and put on their lipstick before they got out of the plane so they looked pretty.
That's amazing. And the program itself, very successful, up until the later days of the war when a number of pilots, male pilots, started coming back from combat and could now ferry airplanes and things, and the program was pretty unceremoniously ended.
Yeah, I actually have the original letter from the, Jackie Cochran and the U.S. Army mailed to my grandmother, and it says, well, you wouldn't want to replace the men, would you? You wouldn't want to take their jobs. So thanks for your service. Have a nice day, basically, is what it says.
Right. And as the WASP story has come to light in the last 20 years or so, there were a number of WASP who were lost in training, and because they weren't officially military members, the families were actually responsible for having to bring their loved one back home. And I know sometimes the ladies at Sweetwater would take up a collection to try and help make that possible.
Yeah, actually two women in my grandmother's training class died in accidents during training, and my grandmother did say that they passed a hat around, because I remember she told me once that one of the ladies came from a family that didn't have a lot of money, and so they collected money in a hat and then used it to send her body home.
And for many, many years, the WASP were not recognized as true veterans. There were no veteran benefits. It was almost as if the military tried to erase their existence.
Yeah, they actually did try to erase their existence. My grandmother told me that they told her when she left the program to not talk about it and just basically go home and live her life. And so that's what most of them did. And their documents were classified for about 30 years, according to my grandmother. Right. But in the 1970s, they went back to Congress when the service academies started admitting women, mm-hmm. and lobbied for retroactive veterans benefits, which they received in 1977.
And it's since that time that, you know, the story of the WASP has come out, similar to the Tuskegee Airmen, again, a marginalized a group of pilots who performed extraordinary things under some very trying circumstances, and with the veterans benefits and the recognition, there was one piece of recognition that was still left off, and that's really where your personal journey gets in, and that is when your grandmother passed away, she wanted to be buried in Arlington Cemetery. And at the time, they said no.
Yes, that's correct. So my grandmother wanted to be at Arlington. She had actually attended at least 9 WASP burials at Arlington. Most of them were buried with their husbands who had been in the military, so they were eligible as spouses. But my grandmother was not. My grandfather didn't serve in the military because he had he was a 4F. So my grandmother was in a unique situation in that she was the one that served, but my grandfather didn't. So she requested to be at Arlington National Cemetery. They denied our request, and we were really confused because the law from the 1970s said they were veterans, and so I always thought she was a veteran, but apparently not the right kind. So thanks to Congresswoman Martha McSally, who I know people at the Air Shoe know because she's a 26-year Air Force veteran, flew the A-10, she introduced the legislation to amend the law from 1977 so that the WASP were recognized as eligible for interment at Arlington National Cemetery. So after all that happened, we lobbied Congress, all this stuff happened, the president signed the bill into law in May 2016. We reapplied at Arlington, and on September 7, 2016, we had a funeral at Arlington National Cemetery. And I'm very grateful to the aviation community for helping make that happen. They were very supportive. And a shout out to the Warbird community who performed a flyover with T-6s and P-51s at my grandmother's funeral. So that was a really special moment.
And it means something special for you. You have a permanent reminder of the fight that it was to get her to Arlington.
Yes, I do. I have a tattoo on my arm. Where's the camera?
Yep.
Oh, there it is. Of the bill number, H.R. 4336 from the 114th Congress.
There you go. Now, you have continued your work with the WASP and also with the Commemorative Air Force with a new program, the education program that they're just starting up.
Yeah, so it's similar to the WASP. If anyone knows the Rise Above Red Tails program, it's going to be similar to that. So we have a T-6, which Rob is going to talk about in a moment, which they discovered actually flew at Avenger Field in the 1940s. And so that's part of the program, but it goes along with a movie that is aimed at youth and inspiring them using the principles of the WASP, aiming high, never giving up, using your smarts, trying to, you know, kind of like the story of the WASP. So it's teaching the history of the WASP along with the characteristics of the WASP that help them to achieve those goals of overcoming gender discrimination and being the first woman to serve in the military. And so there's a movie that goes along with it. It'll travel nationwide, and it teaches the history and how to overcome these things, how to achieve your goals, how to map out a life plan, whether you want to be a pilot or whatever you want to do with your life, how to map out those steps, like you have a flight plan for life, the different goals you need to achieve your ultimate goal.
And how has your grandmother's legacy influenced you?
Well, I didn't realize how much she influenced me until she was gone, unfortunately. And then I had to fight for her right to be interned where she wanted to be, at Arlington National Cemetery. But she always encouraged her grandkids like me to be independent, travel a lot, learn things. And I know she loved coming to air shows. So she was, I'm starting to see why she loved coming to air shows so much. The community is really welcoming and supportive. And yeah, so I learned a lot from her, but it was all kind of indirect. It's not like she sat around teaching me stories. It was like watching the way she lived. You know, it's reflected in my character.
Excellent. Aaron, we appreciate you taking some time to join us today. You're actually doing a presentation on the entire Arlington experience here at AirVenture. Is that correct?
Yes, Friday morning, 11:30 a.m. at Forum 4. I'll be doing a talk about the Arlington National Cemetery. I'll talk more about my grandmother, the book I'm writing, and the history of the WASP a little bit.
All right. Erin Miller is the granddaughter of Elaine Harmon, one of the original WASP, and we appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. Hopefully the rain will hold off, and we'll get a good day of air show in today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And this is EIA Radio.